Hey, we're back. I'm Libby DeLucian, and we're back for another episode of One Layer Deep. And I actually have a great friend. You know, gosh, we go pretty far back, Marvin. But I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and we're going to get started.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Marvin Salcido. I am a serial entrepreneur. I've been in business for myself since I was 18. And I absolutely love it. I love building businesses. I love helping people build businesses. I have built several multi-million dollar companies. I have had success in business. I've had failures in business. You name it, I've just about done it all. Right now, I am coaching full-time and helping people grow their business and make sure that they don't go through a lot of the same headache and heartache that I've gone through in business. And, you know, that they're growing in a profitable way. Because who cares how much money you make top line? But what I really care about is profit. And all that top line number is a pissing number. And,
ego.
It is. That's all it is. I remember the first time I made $1 million in business. And I was like, this is really like, this is it. Like, this is the pinnacle. This is $1 million. This is not great.
I had $1 million in business and I was more broke at $1 million than when I had like a half a million.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because
I did it wrong. Like, I'm just going to
be honest. Well, you have all the overhead and not nearly enough income. You have to scale past it.
Fast.
You either stay at like 650, 750, 850,000, or you scale past $1 million.
Mm. You need to do it fast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I remember when I hit my first million, I don't think I had any money because I was trying to hit it in a time frame. I was trying to hit it from in 3 years, like zero to a million in 3 years. And so I was just like $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. And so I was pumping all the money back into the business.
Yeah.
But I didn't really need money anyways because my husband had a good job at that time. So I hit the million and then, yeah, it didn't feel as like.
Very anticlimactic.
Yeah. And you're like, well, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So when me and Marvin were talking before we started recording, we were talking about some of the struggles, some of the mistakes. I think to have a great coach. So I have a coach in business right now and he's in software, but he's funny because he'll talk about himself and he'll say, well, Libby, I failed. I couldn't do it. Because he's failed multiple times. He's lost everything and he comes back, but he's a phenomenal coach because he's like, I want to keep you from making the mistake I did. I couldn't handle the pressure. I lost all the money. Like, he's phenomenal at being able to see that mistake coming up because he's made it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people look for coaches who are like, who preach the, I have everything figured out, or, you know, it's perfect, versus I actually like the ones who've made a ton of mistakes, the ones who have felt the struggle or kind of see it coming around the corner and they can prevent you from going that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one thing that I tell my people all the time, like, hey, I'm not perfect. I've messed up. I've been very open about what I'm going through in my business, even currently, you know, like, look, this is the path that you should take. Don't make the mistakes that I made. Let's do this. Let's find this. So that they don't have to go through the same headache and heartache that I went through.
So Marvin, why don't you tell us a little bit, as much as you want, about what are you currently going through for our listeners?
Yeah. So I am, yeah, it's been a wild ride the last couple of years, 24 and 25. I would say 23 going into 24, I was riding the wave and things were doing great. And as business was growing and things were moving forward and it was going great until it wasn't. 23 going into 24, we had found some over expenditures in the business and I went in and I made some deep cuts into the business. I got rid of a lot of overhead and then I set everything up for success. I turned it over to my director and said, okay, here's the guidelines. Here's what we need to do. Run with it. And I would check in with her weekly, if not daily. I was checking in quite often. And as time went on, I just had this gut feeling that things weren't going as well as it was being told to me. I kept being told, "Oh no, we're doing great. Things, we're paying, getting things paid off. We're moving forward and this and that." And as time went on, I started hearing rumors that, we owe this company and we owe that company. And just, I was like, and then I started getting phone calls from companies that we were dealing with. And I was like, "Hey, what's going on here? I thought you said we were doing good." "Oh, well, I just," and excuses would come. And then it was getting harder and harder for the excuses to be there. And then it was like, "Okay, well, we're really not doing as well as I said we were, and we need some help here and this." And then I started trying to dig into it, and eventually I made the tough decision that I needed to shut my business down, because we were going into the hole faster than we were coming out of it. And I looked at the math, and it was more responsible for me, not only to my vendors, to my clients, to my employees, to everybody. As hard of a decision as it was more responsible for me to shut it down than it was to try and keep going. Matter of fact, I was going to file Chapter 13 bankruptcy and do a restructure, and work with everybody and get it paid back. But I went to my management team first and talked with them, and just said, "Hey, if this is going to work, I've got to have y'all on my side. I'm willing to fight through this if y'all are willing to fight with me." And they basically tore me a new one for 45 minutes, and they said, "No, we're out." I was like, "Fair enough. I respect your decision, and I will find a way to wind this down in the next 2 weeks." And that's what I did. And it's been just close to the end of August was a year. So it's been a
Yeah,
year and 2 months.
I remember we were supposed to be at the Huge conference together,
I had to
and
cancel.
last
I was supposed to
minute.
speak at the Huge. I had to cancel. Matter of fact, I've canceled every speaking engagement since then, just because I've been dealing with all this. And it's been quite the battle. A lot more things still, even here over a year later, are still coming up. That I'm finding out. I've had people that used to work for me come and tell me stories, and "Hey,
Don't you
this was
just
happening," and
love that? And then you're like, why didn't you tell me?
yeah
You're like,
yeah
really?
like, had you told me a year and a half ago, I could fix this. But no, I mean, it is what it is. It's definitely not been fun. It was not what I had on my bingo card for this year, but I'm excited for the future. I know that I'm gonna be able to rebuild. Even though I'm battling all this stuff, as soon as this chapter of my life closes, I'm gonna be able to move forward. And then that's my plan. Whether I start something from scratch and build slow, or I hit the ground running, I plan on making a heavy rebound.
And so I had to start over from mine was from a divorce or a separation. Wasn't technically married to him, but when we separated because of common law, well, we lost the business because, well, he couldn't, you can't have a bar with someone who is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Lost the business, and he wanted to fight me for a house, everything. So I didn't even get my clothes, like, because he changed the locks on the door. So I lost everything.
Oh, man.
And in that moment of like losing everything, it's kind of, I don't know if you've had this like affirmation, you just kind of actually reset on what your priorities in life are. Like, this is, I just, and mine were like three things. Just want to be happy. I want to smile every day, and I never want to be lied to. Those are my only three
Yeah.
things in life. Like, that's it. Because he was blowing money, and this was from a marriage. This wasn't from an employee, like blowing money that I didn't even know about. Like,
Oh, man.
And when I was sitting on that curb, I tell this story all the time. You know, you think, I don't know how old you are, Marvin, but when I had to start
42, almost 43. I'll be 43 this month.
Okay. I'm 45. I just start all the way over at 30. I think I was 30 when that happened. And you know, you work so hard for so many years, not thinking, you're like, I put everything I had into that and it's gone. But the one thing I can say that is amazing is people ask me this all the time. They're like, Libby, you grew so fast in the cleaning industry. I was like, I had business experience. I wasn't just a random person or like, it's not that I couldn't get a job. So a lot of cleaning companies, like they either can't get a job or they need that job to kind of convenience their lifestyle or their kids. Or it was just like came natural to them. Cleaning is not natural to me. It was one of those things where I had a ton of business experience anyways. So for the listeners and for you, you're not going to start over. You're going to start from your experience.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And you're going to be able to.
The first time I started over, because this isn't propel. The first time I've started over.
No, this is not his first time he started over.
And the last time I started over and the last time it was because I walked away from the business because
I was going to say partnership a partner. Yeah.
And I was able to rebuild really fast, really fast. I think we hit 1 million within 3 years.
Yeah. So it's a great topic, right? You're not starting over. You're starting from experience. So you've walked away from one because of a partnership. And I've had partners and I don't ever really want to partner with anyone again. That doesn't mean I won't. I think partnerships are amazing depending on how you're going into it. So you've started over from a partnership. I've started over because of a marriage. And then you're starting over because of, what would you call this last one?
Wisdom? I don't know what I would call it. I mean, because it was wise for me to shut it down. But
mismanagement?
Definitely there was some mismanagement there.
From your leadership team?
Leadership team, I think that there's definitely things that I could have done better. Could have been, even as involved as I was, I think I could have been more involved. Think that
partnership, marriage, mismanagement, leadership team mismanagement, or just mismanagement. Well, you're part of the leadership team, so we could say leadership team mismanagement.
Yeah.
So, tips for people like. When you start over, what I see a lot of business owners, especially in the cleaning field, this could be true with lawn care, the money and the numbers, they don't like it. It makes them nervous.
Yeah.
But they'll go and they love to support the techs in the field because they resonate or they feel more aligned with technicians. And they kind of avoid the money. They avoid the P&L. They avoid certain things.
Oh, but you've got to know the numbers. The numbers to give you data to be able to make wise decisions.
So for our listeners, what's like the biggest learning lesson that came out of this last time?
I definitely would have a third party help me with the numbers. Somebody that doesn't have a dog in the fight, that has, they're Switzerland, they're neutral, and they're looking at the numbers. And then they can tell me, hey, this is going on. This doesn't look right. This smells fishy, you know, you've got a red flag here. I would definitely get a third party. Matter of fact, shortly before I shut everything down, I had started the hunt for a fractional CFO to do just that.
Yeah.
And then that's when everything started to unravel.
Yeah. I like that. Because we used to do our books in-house, and then I decided to take them out to have just a completely neutral third party do the books. And it's funny because then they ask me every expense that isn't like necessarily common. They're like, what's this for? Yeah. What's this for? And I told my husband, I'm like, gosh darn it, stop asking me.
You feel like you have to justify yourself. Or, you know, like, I'm a freaking business owner.
But it's good because when we had them in-house, the person we had doing them, she was great. She didn't necessarily have access to mismanage things, but she didn't question the spending.
Yeah.
Right? She didn't say, hey, like, this doesn't make sense, or what did you buy this for? And the accountant, like the bookkeeper, doesn't care. They just want to itemize it correctly. But because of the back and forth question, when you go to buy something, you're like, oh gosh, darn it. The bookkeeper's going to ask me what this is for and I got to say it.
You got to be able to justify it. Like, is a red hat really a business expense?
It is.
It absolutely is. It's part of your brand.
It's part of my brand. Yeah. So I think it's funny, but you know, you can also, so I want to talk about a little bit on my experience. You can also take it out of house and still have it jacked up.
Absolutely.
I was just telling Marvin before we started pushing record, what happened to me this year. And this was from a third party. I took it out of house, but this is when Marvin said he had a weird feeling, like this gut feeling that he's kind of wasn't paying attention to. I was using an outside party for my payroll and for all my companies. So they were doing payroll for several of my companies. And all of a sudden, you know, every once in a while I'd get a letter in the mail. Oh, wait, here's one right here. IRS, it's right here. I got one right here, guys. It says I owe $30,000. This is just one of the many. So I was using a third party to do our payroll. And you'd get these letters in the mail. I'd send it to them and I would get excuses. Oh, no problem. Oh, they probably just misfiled it. Oh, they're behind. Like just this random stuff. And finally, I got a certified letter from the IRS in the mail for WootRecruit, which is one of the newest companies they were doing payroll for. And to be honest, it was only me and Chris on that payroll. So it's not very much.
Yeah.
Because all the other employees are paid differently. And I finally asked my accountant, I said, am I losing my mind or is this normal to get these letters that you owe on your 941 taxes? And she goes, no, Libby, this is not normal. And I said, you know, I thought I was losing my mind. And when I had to hire her to do a forensic audit of WootRecruit, because that was the one I got the letter for. And it was only for like $5,000. It was only like a certain quarter. It was just... And then when we started to look, we started to look and there were missing quarters. They were, they were gone. They were not even filed. And then.
Oh, and the penalties are so much.
And then I said, well, you know, they've been doing organized payroll since 2019. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, honey. Like, and we found over $100,000 of missing 941. Mm.
Goodness.
And then they were like, well, you know, you didn't pay it, or we took it one time and your account, like, it rejected it, so we didn't run it again, or something, like it bounced and so we didn't run it again, because, you know, back in the day I was payroll to payroll, week to week. And I was like, no, there's no way, like there's no way. So we had to go through every single bank statement from like 2019, and we proved that they had taken all of the money, the right amount, every single week, but they had not necessarily filed every one of them.
And this is your payroll company, not the IRS.
My payroll company, who was supposed to be paying the IRS on my behalf. They took my money and they didn't pay it. And then again, excuses. And we're working it out. Like, I had to get an attorney, go through the whole jazz, forensic audit of everything. But long story short was, I should have listened to my gut and not have just said when they told me, oh yeah, that's normal. It just, you know, the IRS is slow. They probably haven't filed last quarter, but we submitted it.
Which, to be fair, they are slow, but
it goes back to, I don't blame, you know, you can blame anybody you want. I blame myself for not questioning it sooner.
Yeah.
You know, but you're busy in business and you hand it off and you expect the people that you hire to do the things that you hire them to do, you expect them to do them.
Yeah.
And if at the end of the day, like my accountant said, yeah, they're liable, but the IRS can still come after you because, you know, they don't care. They just want their money. And so if you have that gut feeling, or people are filling you full of crap, or you think they're filling you full of crap, question it. We live in a day and age where there is an audit trail for everything.
Yeah.
Like, I was late to this call because I was like, an employee was supposed to be in a meeting with me and they didn't show up. I told Mara, I'm like, I'm late. We just, like, it was started as a sink to like a marketing sink, and it ended up to be like, I waited in this room for 49 minutes and you weren't here. And don't you dare lie, because there is an audit trail for everything.
Yeah.
And so when you feel like you're being full of excuses, and that's hard to tell in business because we want to trust people, We also don't want to do the job. I think that's the other thing that scares us. You're like,
yeah. Well, it's also, it's really hard to push the business forward. And as visionaries, like, we live in the future and we're constantly, you know, I'm always 5 to 10 years into the future thinking, okay, if I do this, it's kind of that butterfly effect, but I'm going through it in my mind. Like, if I do this, it's going to do this and this. And okay, well, what if I do this and how can I do this? And oh, I need to start that business and I want to do that. You're constantly planning. And so it's hard to live in the future and deal with the stuff that day to day. And so that's why, I mean, crap, that's why I hired it out, because I just mentally didn't have time to do that and this. And I trusted people to do it and bit me in the butt.
Yeah. And I think that's a good, it's a good topic, because visionaries, they live, if you're a true visionary, which most entrepreneurs are, your big relationships, culture, and the vision, like pushing towards the vision, and you have to live there for a company to grow. Like, you have to live in there for that company to go forward. But numbers are like in the current day to day. They're in the moment. And I love numbers.
Know your numbers. You've got to know them. And so many business owners don't. I talked with a guy this week. He's had his business for 4 years. He's doing $1 million a year and does not have a clean set of books, like, at all. I asked him, I said, what's your profit margin? I don't know. Well, how are you pricing? I don't know.
So here's a great topic. Why do you think us entrepreneurs do that?
Why? I think a lot of it is lack of knowledge. It starts there. And then the numbers, I think, scare people. Mm-hmm. And so they just stay away from them. It's like they shove it in that other room and they shove the mess, the clutter in the other room. They close the door, out of sight, out of mind. And then they do bank balance budgeting. And as long as there's money in the bank, they're good to go.
And if there's no money, you're just like, oh, I won't pay this right now.
Won't pay this. I better get out there and hustle, make some more money. And so they end up being in the field every day, hustling, which is not a bad thing. But somebody has to do the numbers. Somebody has to pay attention. Somebody has to man the shit.
Yeah. I agree. We have the same thing in residential cleaning. And I think sometimes when people are scared, or like you said, they know there's no money in the bank, they run back to the field.
Yeah.
Or we were really good in the field and we just, there's money in the account. Great. Like, you just keep doing that motion. It's like that habit is hard to get out of, because that's how we started. So if you're a solo entrepreneur and you started as an owner operator, you didn't focus on the numbers. You focused on the job, collecting the money. And it's hard to get out of that habit to say, okay, now I need to look at these numbers, because we didn't necessarily start that way. Maybe we had years of service bill. And our businesses in lawn care and cleaning are like mini ATM machines, or actually massive ATM machines.
Yeah.
It's all about, like, how fast can it generate money? Because it's an output, because it's recurring.
Yeah.
But if you're spending more money than you can get out of it, or a lot of people, like you said, they in cleaning, they don't know how to charge. So they're in the red because of payroll. Like, payroll, they want to give a competitive wage, but then they're scared to charge. But then they're scared to charge what they need to charge to give a competitive wage, because they're scared they're going to lose the estimate.
Yeah. And they start thinking with their own wallet. And I mean, let's face it, I'm not my target client.
Me neither.
I'm cheap.
I would never pay. Well, I pay for house cleaning now because it's my own business. Yeah. I would never pay for cleaning.
Yeah. No, definitely not. And when I price things appropriately, I look at it like, God, it's expensive. And I'd never pay that. But then again, I'm not trying to sell to me. I'm trying to sell to other people. And too many business owners, they go to sell and they start thinking with their own wallet. And they're like, I'll give them a discount.
Before that was totally me when I first started.
I did it too. I'd knock 10, 15, 20% off before I had the whole conversation in my head. And they rejected me in my head. And so I'm like, I give them a 20% discount. Well, there was all my profit. So I just gave away all my profit. And then I go and make the sale and they immediately say yes. And I'm like, oh, well, that was easy. Not knowing that they would have paid more. And I just left money on the table.
So I used to do that. All the first position I handed off in my cleaning company was sales because I sucked at it. I would never pay for it. So even on the phone, they can hear your lack of confidence in your price. And what I noticed with cleaning is because we created a tool called Sell Convert Clean, which helps the cleaning industry quote properly based off efficiency and what you want to charge an hour.
Yeah.
And a lot we figured this out. We're doing a live on Friday on this is people don't know how to calculate their efficiency rate. So you don't know how much to actually charge because you don't know how long it's taking you to clean a house. But one of the biggest things, we interviewed a ton of people, super excited. We just launched with Jobber, a Jobber integration yesterday.
Oh, cool.
We got a Jobber integration.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the biggest things, we took some beta users and we interviewed them and we, you know, asked a ton of questions and how are you pricing? And literally all of them were just like, I don't know, off my gut, how I feel that day.
I bit off my gut for years.
Like if we got a complaint that week, I'm a little bit lower because my confidence down. And, you know, it was astonishing to me. And some of these were decent sized companies that they couldn't hand off sales because they didn't have a process. They didn't have a structure to how they were quoting. It was just different every time.
Yeah. And that's this guy that I spoke to yesterday. It's exactly how he was. I asked him, I said, well, what's your hourly rate? I have no idea. Well, how are you bidding these jobs? Well, I just know how much to charge. Well, what are you basing it off of? Like, even if you're giving them a lump sum, like, okay, here's the total job price. Like, what are you basing it from? I don't know. Like, okay, then we got to start all the way back at the beginning. Let's get a clean set of books and then build from there because I need to know what we're working with. Maybe your gut's been great and you're actually making a profit, but your bank account says you're not. So let's start there so we can make good decisions, probably need to go up on your prices and then move forward. But he just had zero data.
Yeah. And I think we have the data. We just don't understand it. We don't know how to go get it or write it down or capture it. Because man, that's where the future is to me. I think with a lot of things is in the collection of data. The collection of data is going to help you make decisions, grow and scale, know what to do next. It also helps you forecast because then you know, like, hey, last August sucked, or every August for the last 5 years is our slowest month. So we need to prepare for August versus like, let me go buy a new van in August. the data is so great for forecasting because everything is a cycle. It just evolves. Nothing's really going to shock and awe you to death. Even when the market's down, it's still trending based off the prior years, just maybe down a little bit more, right? Or up a little bit more in a percentage basis. So I love this topic. What's the going rate right now? Do you know hourly for like lawn care?
Lawn care, it's going to depend on part of the country you're in.
Yeah.
But I've seen between like 60 and 85 an hour seems to be about the going rate.
That is actually what cleaning is right now.
Yeah.
Like if you're in California.
On the low end, it's always about 60. Now I've seen people selling it at 25 and 40 bucks an hour. And I'm like, so you own a job and you're really busy. Hey, you may make a good living for yourself, but you don't have a business. Like you can't charge that little and have a business.
And I think that's a really good topic. We have this in cleaning all the time. You know, you have Chuck in the truck. I learned that from Service Autopilot Academy when I was in Service Autopilot. I was the only house cleaner in that group. And you guys had Chuck in the truck and I used to sit there and listen to more information than I would want to know about lawn care and robotic mowers and everything Jonathan Potashnik wanted to talk about. But you guys had Chuck in the truck and I said, I'm going to make my own version. And I call her Betty with a bucket.
There you go.
Yeah. We have Betty with the bucket and they're charging, you know, $25, $30 an hour. It's what I see in cleaning is we get a lot of people scared to charge the $60, the newer people.
Yeah.
Your established larger companies are charging 60 to 80 an hour. From California, it's 80. You come over here to Florida and it's closer to 60.
Yeah.
Because if you want to have employees, you want to have benefits, and you don't want to clean house for the rest of your life, you have to charge that.
And I've got a lot of people, excuse me, in the HVAC world, plumbing, electrical, and they're $125 to $225 an hour, depending on if it's a solo technician or technician with a helper. Mm-hmm. And I've seen even some of those guys, they are broke. And I'm like, okay, at $225 an hour, you should have money in the bank. We need to dig into this. You are either undercharging somewhere or you're overpaying somewhere. It could be your labor. It could be trucks. It could be equipment. It could be rent on your building. Somewhere your money's going. Like, you're making way too much dang money to be this broke.
Yeah. That's why I love pay for performance model or piece rate.
100%.
We're fans of that. We do that in the cleaning industry, but I've also seen it done wrong. They don't understand their taxes, or your employees need vacation time and you have to factor all those into your piece rate. I've seen it because I personally did it wrong when I first started doing piece rate. I had to adjust those percentages. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like the difference that you're seeing. It's not interesting, but you know, what a plumber and electrician, those are considered skilled labor, right? Versus cleaning and lawn care to me are skilled labor, but
it's not as skilled.
It's still skilled labor.
It is.
So, Marvin, before we start wrapping up, you know, what do you have in the works? Do you have anything you want to share with us? What are you up to?
I've got some stuff. I'm quietly looking in the background right now. I'm still kind of laying on the low, just until I close this chapter of my life. And I'm still dealing with everything. I'm dealing with 941 taxes like you are. And that is a mess. And mm-hmm. I mean, it just, once I close this chapter of my life, I'll be able to move forward. But in the meantime, I'm just quietly looking, making some inquiries here and there, and I'll be moving forward here soon.
So my last question is, what helped you get through this? What are the things that really
helped me get through this? Mm-hmm. That is a good one. I would have to say, first and foremost, my faith, and I had some really good friends to help pull me through this. I've lost a lot of friends during this, showed me who my real friends were, had some people who would check in on me every once in a while. And then I've had a lot who I have not heard a word from, even though they know what's going on, and just nothing. So, I'm very, very, very grateful, for those that have been there for me. I'm one of those that, I like to bring my friends along with me for the ride, and I know I'm going places, and I can't wait until I can reciprocate some more and show my appreciation. So, and I just want to thank you, because I know that you've been there for me. So I'm really grateful.
Thank you. You're welcome. Completely could resonate with kind of just the whole starting over. How do I want to start over? And I do, as much as it may not feel like it in the moment, think that things happen for a reason. It opens doors, other things, bigger things, better things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wiser for it.
Yes, you are. And if people want to reach out, we'll make sure, Marvin, we put your information in the show notes. But where can people find you if they're interested in your coaching?
GrowMyBiz.coach. www.growmybiz.coach.
Okay, awesome. So Marvin is a great guy. Highly recommend him if you guys are looking for some insight, some coaching. And what industries do you focus on?
I work with the service industry. So I don't do restaurants, I don't do manufacturing, but I mean, if you are plumbing, electrical, HVAC, lawn maintenance, house cleaning, window washing, basically anything that's service, that's who I work with.
Awesome.
And I do have a couple of spots open right now. If anybody needs some help, I'd love to talk with you.
Great. We'll make sure we put all that in the show notes when we drop them, on our social media, and we'll add Marvin's handles as well and his website. So Marvin, I want to thank you for being a guest here on the Libby Delusion podcast and actually going really, really deep with us. That's what it's all about, is going deep, learning from each other and learning from experience. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.